CanoWem Update News. I'm Lorelai Kinnean, and it's 9:02. The release of the Arctic Deep Draft Port Feasibility Study has been put on hold indeterminably. The Alaska U.S. Army Corps of Engineers had said the study would be issued for public review the first week of March. However, in a Joint Transportation Committee meeting last week, Lorraine Cordova, project technical lead, said the entire port project is being pushed back a few months. The delay stems from port options multiplying rather than diminishing. The Corps began with 8 possible port configurations. That number has jumped to 23. The increase derives, Cordova said, from D.C. Corps headquarters asking for more information and iterations on the sites rather than narrowing options. These sites include Nome, Port Spencer, and Cape Riley. The port would be built as a combination plan at 2 or even 3 of these locations. However, the most likely result, Cordova said, will include Nome and Port Spencer.
Looks like there's going to be a combination Nome and Point Spencer that will probably bubble up to the top.
A delegation from Nome recently traveled to Washington, D.C. to lobby support for the Arctic Deep Draft port. Nome Mayor Denise Michaels says the city continues to supply the Corps with port data as they make their decisions.
Our message was, you know, we hope to move this forward. We hope to provide you with all the correct data that you need.
But Michaels said the need for the port extends beyond Nome.
This port system is for basically the world. With all this increase of traffic happening, we're human. Something's going to happen. An accident will happen, unfortunately, and the states, the U.S., is not prepared for that.
And Cordova says the Alaska Corps saw a 13-fold increase in traffic through the Northern Sea Route between 2012 and 2013. Over the next 8 years, they expect that movement to multiply 30-fold. These vessels need a port to resupply, refuel, change crews, and retreat from severe weather, along with respond to incidents. However, the nearest deep draft port is in Dutch Harbor, 800 miles south of the Seward Peninsula. That's the distance from New York City to Jacksonville, Florida.
There's lots of traffic going past our shores. There's no place for these boats to pull out. There's economic opportunities out there. Search and rescue, all of that is a problem that we felt we could address with this project.
Cordova says the Corps will select the port design with the greatest national net benefit, and in lieu of a feasibility report, the Alaska Corps will release a tentatively selected plan for the port in early March. And Senator Mark Begich says the U.S. Postal Service has agreed to roll back its parcel post rate hike for shipments to rural Alaska. In a Senate committee hearing yesterday, he added an amendment to the postal reform bill to undo the increase imposed last week for in-state mail to communities not linked by road. But he says he secured a separate commitment from the Postmaster General to lower rates immediately or as soon as the post office can change its machines. Begich said at a hearing yesterday the increase had unintended consequences for Alaska.
This was a national decision to make sure that if there's competition, you'd have a different kind of rate structure. In rural Alaska, the Postal Service is dominant. They are a monopoly.
Rural Alaskans rely on Postal Service to receive all kinds of goods and merchandise. Begich says Alaskans have been complaining to him that new rates had them paying as much as 50% more for delivery. Deputy Postmaster General Ron Stroman says the Postal Service gets it.
Senator Begich, we understand that in Alaska, the effect of these price increases could potentially have a disproportionate impact because of the lack of roads, for example.
For large freight deliveries, rural Alaskans benefit from bypass mail, an Alaska-only subsidy that costs the Postal Service more than $70 million a year. Nothing in the postal reform bill that cleared the Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee yesterday would change that program. Still, Begich is claiming credit for saving it. Begich told reporters he's been able to persuade budget hawks like Republican Senators Tom Coburn and John McCain, who 2 years ago tried to kill it.
They knew if there was any attempt to strip away bypass mail or diminish it, that I would cause havoc to this bill and make sure this bill never gets out of committee.
A spokesman for Senator John McCain says the Arizona senator still does not support bypass mail. Begich warns the program may face stiff opposition in the House. And Channel 2 News is back on the air. Rural cable subscribers across the state who have been without NBC now see the program return. Yesterday, cable provider GCI and the Anchorage NBC affiliate KTUU announced the agreement. Andy McLeod is president and general manager of KTUU. GCI and KTUU had been wrangling over the terms of a new contract since last fall, when GCI bought two TV stations in Southeast, KATH in Juneau and KSCT in Sitka. In November, the dispute led GCI to drop the KTUU signal in several parts of rural Alaska, leaving about 7,000 households from Barrow to Valdez without access to NBC programming, except what was carried on the state-operated channel known as ARX. But as of 1 p.m. yesterday, most of rural Alaska got their KTUU signal back. The two companies had agreed on rates in December, but the dispute centered on what would happen if KTUU ever acquired another station. President McLeod said the station is satisfied on that front.
What we got is working with GCI, and they got the same thing, is we got a provision that allows us to build our business into the future, unrestrained. So that's a significant thing.
McLeod added that the agreement comes at a good time for viewers who are fans of the Winter Olympics, which is carried on TV exclusively by NBC. Channel 2 News has two reporters in Sochi, Russia, following Alaska's Olympic athletes. But GCI spokesman David Morris said the negotiations between cable providers like GCI and content providers like KTUU are becoming a national issue.
So will this happen again in Alaska? We sure hope not. We're trying to figure ways out to make it not happen. But the way it's set up right now, if you don't have a company, whoever your provider is, that says no to some of these demands, things will just spiral completely out of control.
The new agreement covers about 3 years, so Alaskans should not see any disruption to NBC programming through at least 2017. It is currently 9:30 after 9 o'clock.